Praise the Lord, saints. You know, I was thinking in ourselves, we are a hindrance to the building up of the body. Ourself is an enemy of the body, right? But when we are in our spirit, we are so precious to God, so useful for His purpose, right? And we are indispensable for the building up of the body. Actually, we're gifts, right? So praise the Lord. Each and every one of us is precious to the Lord, right? Precious for what He wants to accomplish in His household. So I just want to welcome each and every one of you. And I want to remind you that you are precious in the Lord's eyes. That each and every one of you is really precious. And we're really happy that we can get together to consider these matters that matter to the Lord. Amen. So we will have time, about 15 to 20 minutes, of reading a portion of the ministry. Brother Ted will take the lead on bringing us to this portion of the ministry and considering these matters. After that, Brother Tim Graver will share more specific matters concerning our service with the children. This sharing will be for about 30 minutes. We will present something very special that has been prepared for a long time for us to be able to use mainly at our homes, with our family, with our own household. I don't want to mention that yet, but you'll take something with you to your home. And this will be presented by Brother Ted for about 15 to 20 minutes. And then at the end, we'll distribute some printouts, just basic reminders, right, that we always need to be refreshed about. And also, we encourage you to use these matters to fellowship with the other serving ones, especially those that couldn't make it today. So we're hoping to finish actually before 6 p.m. So we'll begin with the first part of the meeting.
Hallelujah. Dear saints, praise the Lord. You need one of these sheets. Do you have this? The need for the children's meeting. If you don't have one, the brothers will give you one. Well, this page. Come in, brothers. This page is from this book. Collected Works, Witness Lee, 1978, so it's the most recent, just came out. And as I was perusing this book, when it came into the Living Stream office, I got caught, this is volume one, I got caught with the table of contents, page 33, well, it's in the section, Fellowship with the Church in Anaheim. 1978, January. And the first four pages, which is, this cooks down to four pages from here, is the need for the children's meetings. So here's a word. January 78, 37 years ago, from Brother Lee to you, 37 years later. Right? So how can we not read it? To me, it's quite, I just feel special. Yeah. We got a word directly. So, I'd like to do it this way. Let's read the bold all together, and then I'm going to read all the between sections, okay? So, together. The need for the children's meetings. Hallelujah. Do what? Move this thing? Okay, you move that where you want it. So the need for the children's meetings. Okay. In this chapter, and you can follow, I'll read. In this chapter, I will fellowship concerning the need for the children's meetings. I am concerned that many who meet with us may not be clear concerning our intention and burden in the care of the children during the church meetings. Yeah, everything's to the church in Anaheim. And I would say to the recovery, right? Thus, we need to see what the purpose for the care of the children during the church meetings is so that we can evaluate our present situation. Okay? So we'll evaluate. Okay, all together. Caring. The first point concerning the children's meetings. The first point is that we do not wish to carry them into the way of traditional Christianity. That is the way of Sunday school, quote unquote. We prefer that the saints not bring their children into the general meetings of the church because it is difficult for the children to remain quiet. Many children are offended with their parents when their parents exhort them to be quiet. Furthermore, small children in the meetings often become a frustration, not only to their parents, but also to the entire meeting. Now, if you brought small children, don't take this up. Don't. Stay here with your children. Okay. We're talking about typically Lord's Day morning. Forcing children to come to the meetings is the religious way of bringing the children into the worship of God. Actually, the children are not worshiping in those situations. Rather, they are suffering. All together. Caring for the children, why? In establishing the children's meetings, our goal is to find the best way to care for the children during the meetings of the church so that the mothers will be free to attend the meetings. How does that sound, Amy? Is that good? Four kids, do you ever want to go to a meeting? Otherwise, many parents will be unable to attend the meetings because they need to take care of their children. Thus, on the negative side, we do not wish to take the way of Sunday school, and we do not want parents to bring their children to the general meetings against the children's wishes. On the positive side, we want to have children's meetings to care for the children, so that more mothers will be free to attend the church meetings. I think we've heard this before. Now your eyes have seen. Here it is in print. Right, if you haven't read it. It says what it says. Okay, all together? Okay, so as long as we are collecting them together and having a meeting, this is what we're doing. A secondary concern with the children's meetings is to take the opportunity in such meetings to render help to the children so that they can be built up in a proper way in their humanity. However, none of the saints should depend on others to build up their children. Each mother must build up her own children. A proper mother will never place upon others the responsibility of building up her children. We encourage all the mothers to learn and even discipline themselves to know how to care for their children. Depending on others to build up our children is altogether unhealthy. Thus, we must be clear that the church does not intend to build up our children. No person, no meeting, and no work can build up our children. All the mothers must bear the burden to build up their own children. On the church's side, while we are taking care of the children during the meetings, we have an opportunity to help build them up. However, on the parent's side, each mother must bear the responsibility to build up her children. If she does not know how, she needs to learn and become disciplined so that she may be successful in building up her children. However, the thought of depending on the church to have a certain kind of meeting or work to build up the children is wrong, and such a thought needs to be rejected. All together? When we care for the children during the meetings, we must be careful not to pass on an excessive amount of religious or spiritual knowledge. That kind of knowledge will become premature knowledge that will spoil the children's appetite for the spiritual things when they grow up. I grew up in such a situation, and to many among us who had premature knowledge of the spiritual things, Bible stories became distasteful. Just consider this story in Genesis on the garden and what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. How many, it got ruined for most of us. I mean, if those of us got raised in Christianity, that whole story just got, we were robbed. We were robbed by Christianity. The way it was presented to us, the emphasis it gave to us, the images it implanted into our thinking, into our mind, on the Garden of Eden. All that we got as children did not do it justice at all. Right? But I'll be for the recovery. Okay, sorry. We did not like to hear them anymore, right, those stories. Today, many children feel the same way. In a sense, I would rather that the children not hear these things until they enter into their teenage years. In this way, they may receive more benefit. Okay, your turn. Amen. This does not mean that there is no advantage to teaching children about the Bible. Rather, it means that if we give the children excessive knowledge concerning the Bible, we will be at a disadvantage. Thus, in the children's meetings, we should present only a little knowledge concerning the Bible, concerning God, concerning the Lord Jesus, even concerning the fall of man. Even concerning, yes, the Lord's redemption. Depends on where we are, right? This is a big thing in sixth grade. And then the Lord's salvation. We should spend most of the time to impress them with how to be a proper human being. Most of the time, impress them how to be a proper human being. What most families today lack is the instruction on how the children can be a proper human being or proper human beings. Thus, the children's meetings can carry out a work to make up for this lack. Some may consider that our general meetings are too long and that it will be difficult to keep the children in the children's meetings for the duration of the general meetings. Right, 9:30 to noon plus, that's 2.5+ hours, right? However, keeping the children occupied depends on skill. For instance, if we have only one Bible story to tell the children, they will become bored easily. However, if we spend some time to build different kinds of crafts or to converse with them about their parents or siblings, that sounds like you could almost have a time block. You know, let's have, it's time to converse. Okay, so let's sit down. So, do you play an instrument? You do. So you have a converse time. It's not formal. It's informal, but it's, anyways, saints, here it is. We have, okay, if we depend sometime, different. Okay, if we have only one Bible story to tell the children, become bored. However, if we spend some time to build different kinds of crafts, right, different kinds of crafts, or to converse with them about parents or siblings, they will be interested. We will have a way to help them realize how to be proper human beings, and we will have more than enough to keep them occupied. And we all have a heart of belief. We may also set aside some time to teach them songs. So you have, well, we have opening time, yeah, but this is going to be beyond opening, right? Teach them songs. And help them build up their humanity in a practical way. For instance, we can compose lyrics such as, I love my brother, I love my sister, I love my parents. Okay, so you play the guitar, maybe next week you can have a song for us. And that's how we got the song, God Our God, right? Well, somebody picked up the burden. So we have a song. I love my parents. Into a song. Again, I say that we should spend only about a fifth of the time to speak to the children concerning the Bible, God, Christ, man's fall, sin, and the Lord's salvation. The rest of the time, 80%, should be spent in building up the children's humanity in different ways, right? Different ways. This way, this way, this way, this way, this way. Even though we spoke concerning this way of caring for the children in the past, many of the churches took another way. Eventually, some fell into a practice similar to that of Sunday school and Christianity, whereas others took the children to a park or taught them to play sports. Children have to play, don't they? Not for these 2.5 hours. They don't have to play. They don't have to play. Right? To carry out a Sunday school is easy, but to care for the children in a living way while building them up in a proper humanity requires our heart. Oh, Lord Jesus. Our heart. What the children need in the church's care for them is not to learn how to play sports. Some churches have taken the way of merely entertaining the children because it is an easy way. Right? You just turn on that iPad and those kids just mesmerize and time to go. Today we need to consider our situation, saints, according to our primary concern of caring for the children, so that their mothers can be free to attend the meeting. Hallelujah. Right? May all the mamas make their way to the meeting. At the same time, we can use the opportunity to give the children a certain amount of education and spiritual knowledge without imparting anything prematurely, and we can build them up in their humanity to be proper persons. Okay, your turn. Presently, we are considering two alternative arrangements for carrying out a gathering for the children during the Lord's Day meeting. The first is to bring all the children to the meeting hall and to host a children's meeting during the general meeting. The second is to hold neighborhood children's meetings. In either case, the parents will need to serve as caretakers. If they stayed home to care for their children individually, they would need to care for them all the time. But if they practice a corporate way to care for the children, either by gathering in the meeting hall or by small gatherings in the neighborhood, they may be free to attend at least one out of two. Well, we reach that, right? We're at least one out of two, generally. Our goal is one out of four. You serve 1 out of 4 weeks. 1 out of 3 if you're short. And the church in Anaheim has taken the way, and he leans this way, right? We gather them together. He was here when we bought this building next to us, right? 1900. Okay, your turn. I wish to say a word of caution. If our goal in holding the children's meetings is only to build up the children, we are off the mark. We should not practice anything that distracts the saints from the general meetings if we can avoid it. We are not carrying out a children's work. Rather, we are doing something to help more sisters who have children attend the meetings. We are not carrying out a children's work. I'm repeating for my personal realization. Right? The right arrangements for the children's meeting should release more mothers to attend the meetings of the church. This is the goal of our carrying out the children's meeting. So I think we've known this, and it's good to repeat it. And I think my feeling, I think we've been faithful to what we've seen, and I think the course we're on is in line with this. And I'm very grateful that we can, you know, just pick up Brother Lee's word directly, right? And be refreshed, encouraged, and realize we're sailing on. We're sailing on. And I just sense, generally speaking, we're in the right way, I believe. Do you believe so, Isha? I mean, you know, I think generally speaking. So, with that, I'll give it to Brother Tim. Oh. Sorry. Yeah, you need all this. I do.
Amen. Well, in fellowshipping regarding this time, the brothers asked if I would labor with you in fellowship to try to do a little bit of application of this fellowship. I think it's good to read from the page what's written here, but I really feel like this is like orange juice concentrate that needs a little mixing and fellowship just to consider and get into the point. So that's what I would like to try to do with you a little bit this afternoon. But before we dive into that, I asked the brothers to give me a whiteboard just to keep me on track. That helps me get into the points. I'd like to, okay, so we want to get into application. So let me put that on the board. But before we get into some application of what we just read, I'd just like to open up a little bit to you, two matters. One is, brothers and sisters, this is fellowship. And we are getting into matters that are in the, you could say, in the practicality or the practice of the church life. Of course, obviously, some of this spills over into our family life, our home life. There's some fellowship here. In the first page, under the section, rendering help to the children so that they can be built up in their humanity, that very much touches the mothers. And we have a lot of mothers here this morning who may be reading this. If she does not know how, she needs to learn and become disciplined so that she may be successful. Wow, maybe that's... Maybe some of you gulp when you read that. Anyway, in other words, my burden is just that we would have fellowship. We're not here to lay it on thick and put anyone under a heavy demand that we can't work through. This is just fellowship. This is time for us to come together in the church life to fellowship about the practice of the church life. These are not matters of the faith. These are not matters that are, we may talk about some things that you just don't agree with. That's okay, right, brothers? But we're here just opening and having fellowship and pursuing the Lord as He ministers to us in the church life for the sake of ourselves and our children. And I appreciate the title of this book, and I'll refer to it many times, Raising Up the Next Generation. Much of our burden in these matters is how, Lord, will we raise up and be faithful to the next generation that will follow us. Anyway, so that's my main burden. As I get into any application, you may not agree. That's okay. We don't have to. We've had fellowship. This matter of premature spiritual knowledge, we've shared this multiple times. The level of comfort that you have on this matter, it varies. As far as in the children's meetings, we have a very definite boundary line that we don't want to cross. But that shouldn't imply what you do in your homes is something that we're trying to touch on. This is really a matter between the mothers and the fathers in their homes and the care of their children. Anyway, I just want to open that point first, that we may touch some things that touch your homes, but really it's in the spirit of fellowship and encouragement as we pursue the Lord together. Then the other thing I want to cover before application is I want to take a little time to fellowship the matter of the scope of the children's meeting. I think it's always good for us to step back and take a little bit of time, you could say a helicopter view of the scope of the way we bring the children through the children's meeting. And I believe that you will, when you see it painted out in some high-level step-by-step, you will see how it falls into the framework that's defined in this fellowship here. So I'd like to take a little time and go through that. That's why I asked the brothers to put a whiteboard up. Then all of us in our labor with the children, we're not just showing up and filling in our service time. We realize what is the point of what am I doing? My experience and testimony is if we have this, then everything we're doing in our service and care of the children has a view, has a goal, has a purpose, and has some appreciation and even some, if you're wondering what am I doing here, it's very difficult to carry out that service in a long-term faithful way. Okay, so this is what I'd like to go through. I'd like to take a few points that I put together and just paint a broad brush scope of the overall. We've covered this before, but not recently. So I think it'd be good to repeat it for all of you. So under the matter of scope, I'd like to break it down into four specific sections. The first is what I'll call the nursery and preschool. Okay, I think you know these ages. And then the second would be the K through 2. Okay, that's the second. And then the third is 3rd grade through 5th grade. And then the fourth, I'm going to put down here in a separate plane. And that is with the sixth grade. Okay, so these are the four sections that we can talk about in reviewing the scope of our care for the children. And this is very helpful because much of the fellowship that you'll get from this book talks about presenting it at an age-appropriate level. So it's very important to get an understanding of how to present at an age-appropriate level. And so what I'd like to do is drill into each of these items and talk about some of the major themes that we're burdened to care for and present during this section. Now, these aren't all-inclusive, but these are some of the major ones to be paying attention to. Okay, so under the nursery and preschool, I have three items. I'll do this with A. A is the wonders of creation. Okay, the wonders of creation. And so we're burdened that even in the nursery and preschool, we would already be paying attention to the points that are here. That, in other words, we're doing something that it's not just free play. It's not just babysitting. We right away want to bring them into something that is, there's some structure, there's some lines that we're developing. Of course, it's not developing a high crystallization line. But every week there should be something. Maybe it's the rainbow. Maybe it's colors. Maybe it's shapes. All of these matters under the wonders of creation. And you can have a whole line develop where each week there's something you're getting into. Another line, and really this doesn't have to be a separate line, it can be interwoven in with the matter of creation, is this matter of the preciousness. Precious, C-I-O-U-S-ness, of humanity. We're very burdened that they wouldn't just appreciate the cow and the bear and the tiger, but they would appreciate man and how wonderfully man has been made and how man really stands apart from all the other created things. Okay, this is very important. So maybe you have a little time on the blue well, very good, but integrate something about how superior man is to the blue whale, or comparing man to the blue whale. These are some examples of this. But we really want the little ones from a little age to appreciate how wonderfully they are made. So there's a lot to develop in this regard. To make sure they appreciate, man is not just like an animal like all the other animals. I mean, this is what they're going to be told all the way up. Even with the children, this is what the influence is that man and animals, there's not a big difference. We want to stand against that and emphasize how precious man is. Okay, then the last point under this, and you may wonder if they're too young for this, but I think it's good, and that is the matter of loving God and the meetings. Right? They should appreciate how good it is to come together with the other children and sing and learn about God, and I love God, right? We have all of these songs. This is a theme and an emphasis. We want to make sure that they have, even from a young age. They don't take it for granted. We see a lot of kindergartners, first graders, and second graders. They don't have any appreciation of the children's meeting over going to school. You follow what I can't tell you how many times I say to the children, "You're at children's meeting, right?" Emphasize, this is our children's meeting. This is a special time. Anyway, I think this is a very important point that we bring in the matter. They're not too young to love God. And they're not too young to appreciate and enjoy coming together to have the children's meetings. Okay, so these are the three items we'd like to highlight under this section. Does it seem good? Okay. All right, so let's move on to we're still on the matter of the scope, okay? So wherever you are, you kind of know the main things we're trying to hit. Under kindergarten through second grade, okay, again, three items. We have this item called character stories. Okay? And you're going to actually have character stories in both second and third. When you read this book, and in this little reading we read, there is time and time again this point of sharing stories that impress them about the normal character, the proper humanity. This is such a major topic that really, properly, it takes all 6 years to cover it adequately. And so really, this is a fixture in all the K through fifth grade, and we're developing these character stories. And typically, these stories go through the Bible. So you start in Genesis, and you have stories about, you know, the eight great men in Genesis. You have the stories about the children of Israel. Right now, we're in the book of Acts. You know, we've made our way, we had a section on the Lord Jesus, but the whole journey is this category of the character stories where we're presenting a person, they're learning the facts that happen in the Bible, and they're learning some character points that are brought out by that incident, be it sharing, be it kindness, be it jealousy, all the topical and character points are brought out during this arching line through all 6 years. Okay? However, and this is quite key, we practice this in District 3. I don't know about the other districts. During our story time, we typically split these two groups up. Okay? And we labor to perfect the ones giving the stories at a different level. So there's fellowship in this book that talks about beginner, intermediate, and advanced. There has to be this kind of consciousness in our care for these grades. And so I'd like to present a B and a C under both of these that illustrates this consciousness of beginning and advanced. So there's some earlier, simpler things, then there's some more advanced. Okay, so under K through second, under the character stories, there's a couple of lines we want to develop. One is the attributes of God. Okay, so in the nursery preschool, I love God. But when they get to K to second grade, why do they love God? What are the attributes of God that make him so awesome? His loving kindness, his care for us. You have so many portions. We were just reading this portion about God sending the rain, right, indicating his loving kindness and care for us. All kinds of portions like this under the matter of the attributes of God. God is righteous. God is wise. God is, right, sovereign, right? Many, many items of the attributes of God that are good for them to learn about at a young age. Then the second item is, a big one. Under K to 2, we have the matter of building up their humanity. Okay, this is a big point. I'm going to spend some more time under application on this, but I'm very impressed. I'm very unburdened in this reading here. We have this whole section here about one of the goals of the children meeting. It's a secondary goal. Okay, the primary one being we want the mothers in the meeting prophesying because we treasure their portion. But the secondary is this matter of building up their humanity. I've spent some time getting into this matter, and I think it's quite a crucial item that we have to pay attention to and not hit it accidentally, but hit it in a deliberate way. So I'm going to come back to this matter in a minute. How do you build up someone in their humanity? It's a wonderful phrase, right? Andy, I want to build you up in your humanity. Surely that would make you smile, right? Oh, good. Well, what does that mean I'm going to do to Andy if I'm going to build him up in his humanity? Where are the handlebars? What do I do to build Andy up in his humanity? Right? So I'd like to spend a little bit exploring this. I don't want to give you answers, but I want to fellowship so that you can consider and pray about it more. Okay, so this is K to 2. We have character stories, bringing out points of character. We also want to bring out the attributes of God, and we want to pay attention to building up their humanity. Does this seem good? Okay, so far? Nobody's going to go home bothered? Okay. It's happened before. Okay, third through fifth grade. Again, the character stories continue, right? We want to continue covering the character stories. But there are two other additional points that I would say are a step higher. They're in a little more advanced stage, okay, that I think we should pay attention to. This is more developed content. And that is having a heart for God. Having a heart for God. Okay, this is not in the sense of bringing them into receiving the Lord and salvation. You know, praying for the Lord to regenerate them and all of these matters. This really is an experience of the Lord that we want to reserve for the sixth grade. Okay, but we can make a mistake in holding off those experiences. We can swing the pendulum too far to the point where a fifth grader or a fourth grader has no heart for the Lord, has no, you know, I was considering how to present this point. I feel like they're at this age, they need to begin having some communication with God, right? Some, you know, I've talked to my children. Talk to the Lord about it. You know, the little ones, they can talk to God about it. This is not in the realm of the Christian walk, the Christian life. But for them to have a conversant relationship with the Lord in these years so that there's a soft heart to the Lord really is something that we can safely bring them into without going beyond into these matters. Does that make sense? We shouldn't confuse salvation with a heart for the Lord. And these little ones, they really can have a heart for the Lord. They can talk to God. They can open to the Lord. They can tell the Lord when they're afraid. They can tell the Lord when they're upset. This cultivates in them a proper, loving heart for the Lord so that we don't want, when they get to sixth grade, God is this mysterious, far away, unconnected, and it's a strange thing for them to pray. We don't want the first time a child prays to be when he prays to receive the Lord. You follow what I mean? We want them to be comfortable with the exercise of opening and talking to the Lord. Does that make sense? So this is a key point. I never forget. I shared this at my mom's memorial meeting. Her strongest point with me raising up was, whatever you do, keep your heart soft to the Lord. Even when I was a teenager, you know, even when I was a rough and tumble teenager getting into trouble, her main concern was, is your heart soft to the Lord? Well, this is something that a third grader and a fourth grader, they're you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. Surely at this age, they have the capacity humanly to have a heart to love the Lord. And I believe this involves helping them be comfortable to talk to the Lord, to speak to the Lord. Okay? And of course, many of the stories in the Bible allude to this. In Acts, you have Cornelius. Cornelius had a heart for God, right? He wasn't saved yet, but he definitely had a heart for God that meant something. Okay, and then finally, this is a big one that I've been enjoying lately. Sorry, this is so small. Okay. The third one under this section is appreciating the Bible. Okay. The last couple of months I've been serving with District 3. I usually serve with the sixth graders, but we switch things around, and I've been serving with the 3 to 5. Most of it's a big group of rowdy boys. So it's always, you always have to get serious when you're going to face the rowdy fifth graders. So we've been in the book of Acts, and we've been getting into these stories on the first journey of Paul going to with Barnabas, going through Cyprus, right? All of you familiar with this, going up into Asia. And I have taken the opportunity to really impress these. Remember, these are 3rd through 5th graders. These aren't K-2. I've been endeavoring to impress them how awesome the Bible is and how awesome the stories of the Bible are. And these are not, I told the brothers, you know, our children today are inundated with intergalactic stories, right, that are sweeping and dramatic. Well, they're all fictional, and they have places, they involve places that never existed, and they involve, there's nothing behind them, right? There's no substance there. But the Bible as a book is an awesome book, and we should impress upon them how awesome the stories are and how incredible the scope and the scale and the span of the book is. And so we were going through these stories, and we put up maps of the Middle East. We got our Google Earth, and we went through Cyprus, and we were looking at the different sites, and the kids were just awestruck. These are real places, and these are real things that happen to real people. And we realize through this, our burden is, we want to put in them an appetite to get into the Bible, to read the Bible, that eventually would translate as they get into the 6th grade and into junior high. They become Bible reading, They have an appetite for Bible reading. If we never tell them how awesome it is and, wow, you really should read this story. Go home and tell your mom, I want to read Acts chapter 14. This is great. So we, again, this is in the more advanced stage. We love to see a 10-year-old reading the Bible every night, or at least realize the Bible is an awesome book with some incredible stories and characters and activities. It's not too early to put this in. Okay, so this is under the 3rd through 5th. We have the character stories, having a heart for God, and appreciating the Bible. Again, these general lines that we want to hit at these different stages. Okay, is this okay? Okay, now, under 6th grade, I'm going to draw a line this way. This really is a particular year because in the 6th grade, we want to very definitely, deliberately bring them into an experience of knowing the truth and experience of God's salvation. And we don't do this in a quick, I like the phrase here, the disciplined way. She needs to learn and become disciplined. Many times with the children, we consider discipline. It means we need to discipline the children. But actually here, we need to discipline ourselves. Often this is the issue, is we need the discipline. And in the next page, it talks about the easy way. The easy way. We don't want to take the easy way. We want to take the way that requires our heart. So I believe in the 6th grade, this really applies. We learned very early that as you have children going through this, as they enter into the 6th grade, they're very soft. They love to come to the meetings. They love God. They love to hear about the Bible. They like to read the Bible. And you have a brand new 11-year-old on the first week of sixth grade, I almost guarantee you each and every one of them on the first day of sixth grade, if you came to them, Andy, welcome to the sixth grade. This year is a special year. This year you're going to get saved. Do you want to get saved? Okay, pray with me. Bang. 99.9%, they're going to pray and get saved. And it would be wonderful. Please understand this is fellowship. This is pursuing not the easy way, not the religious way, but the most profitable way, the disciplined way. We realize Andy would get saved, but a couple of losses, a couple of things we will have robbed him of. Okay. Firstly, his appreciation and understanding of what just happened. Yes, something wonderful and real happened to him. We're not doubting that. But his appreciation of that and understanding of that, we've robbed him of it. And he may never get it back. Brother Lee told his testimony. This is what happened to me. So that's why I draw a red line here. Brothers and sisters, the stakes are really high when we get to this stage. We brought him through all of these things. We really need the Lord. We really need this word discipline. Not in a matter of bad or good. We need to be very disciplined and headed up in the way we would take. So the second thing I've robbed Andy of is I've robbed him of experiencing salvation in the context of his home with his family. Because now Andy goes home and he says, Mommy, guess what? I got saved today. And Mom says, wow, that's wonderful. And Dad says, wow, that's wonderful. But then they say, wow, I sure would have liked to have been there, right? Wouldn't you, don't you want to be with your child when they're saved? So you have now, you can't get that back. So this understanding, brothers and sisters, has forced us with the sixth grade to take our time. We're not slow, but we're not fast either. And I want to put down 3 points again, just like with the others. The first is, we spend a good amount of time talking about God's creation and man's fall. And the results. Okay, I want to talk about the matter of man's fall and the results. Here you have, we have the two problems of the fall, sin and death. Paul, you know, the whole year in sixth grade. What are the two problems? Sin and death. You will notice that up here, and we've run into this in some of the character lessons, where especially here, when you get into the New Testament stories, you can develop these stories in a way that touches on the matter of sin and being sinful and sinning. And it's not that we would hide things, but I appreciate the word in these ministry reports, especially chapter 12. I would point you to a couple of paragraphs in chapter 12. Let me just read one of these. It really hit the point to me. Chapter 12, page 205. After hearing all the teachings and stories from the Bible, young ones become, quote, slippery. We don't want the sixth graders to be slippery. Okay, so that nothing sticks to them. One of the biggest burdens we have is that all of these points would really stick to them. And we pray, Lord, cause them to consider these things. When they go to bed at night, we want them to be thinking about the problem of sin. That means it stuck to them. Okay, listen to this. We must not spoil the young ones in this way. Those who have heard the stories before... Oh, sorry, listen to this sentence. Those who have never heard the stories before are easily inspired by them. Does that make sense? So there are certain things we're, it's not that we're hiding, we're reserving it up here so that when they get here and they find out about the corruption of sin that got constituted into man by the fall, they're shaken by that. They walk out of that and they're, you know, some of the sixth graders, they may come home and they're, it's stuck to their being. They're considering it. Okay, this is profitable. This is the way we want to labor. That's why in this section, if they pick up these points, that I'm sinner and I will be saved, be careful. It can. It's not that it's not the case, but we really want to inspire them regarding these matters down here. Does that make sense? I hope this would be helpful to y'all. Okay. Okay, let me keep going. I'm getting too long here. Okay, then the second one here is God's salvation and how to be saved. And these are two distinct points. One is, what did God do so that I could be saved? In precise detail, both judicially, organically, by his death, by his resurrection. We like to read the account directly from the Bible of the process of the Lord being crucified and the suffering he endured on the cross. Listen, those 11-year-olds, they are really impressed with this story about how the Lord suffered on the cross. Okay? We want them to be impressed. We want it to stick to them. We don't want it to be, oh, I've heard, yeah, the Lord, the Roman soldiers. We want this to really be an impression on them. Okay? Then there's the matter of what God did. Then there's the matter of how they respond. And so we're actually right here at this point in this current year. We're just about to turn the page into how to be saved. And it's in much detail. The matter of being cleansed of your sins, the matter of being reconciled, the matter of being justified, then the matter of having your spirit regenerated. All of these points, detail by detail, to be told. Calling on the Lord, praying. I don't have my outline handy, but it's in quite precise detail so that when we come and visit them to actually preach the gospel, aha, Andy. Now when I come to Andy, and here he is with his dad, and here he is with his uncle, and he's got, you know, his mother and brother and sister, and we say to him, Andy, do you want to make a decision today to be saved? And he says, yes. Listen, there's a lot. There's not just the yes. There's a lot of appreciation and understanding. What am I doing? What am I doing? And we've seen this last year, we went and visited one young boy. He prayed and received the Lord, and the tears, and I mean, you just, powerful. It is really powerful, the power of the gospel in a little 11-year-old. And all of our labor for all those years gets consummated at that point. It's marvelous. It's really marvelous. Anyway, I hope this would inspire you. This is not a matter of do's and don'ts. This is a matter of the most profitable way to raise up the next generation for the church life. Anyway, I hope this would be an encouragement to you. And then the last point under this is, and this is a big point, baptism and, let me get the right wording here, and the, hallelujah, church life. We want every one of these sixth graders, when they come out of sixth grade, they're fully equipped with the basic skills to survive in the church life. You laugh at basic skills. We need some skills, right? How to come into the meeting, how to bring our books, how to call a song, how to praise, how to pray. Where do we learn these things? We need to help them with some basic skills so that when they come into seventh grade, they're ready. And we tell them the meeting is not, how do we say it? You are a owner of this meeting. This is not your parents' meeting. This is your meeting, and you are here to enjoy it. Anyway, how do you feel about these four sections and three subpoints? This is our scope. This is our scope. I hope, you know, we're all laboring at different points, but I think it should be an encouragement. If I'm over here sharing our God is so big, so strong and so mighty, we're here on the attributes of God, but we realize, oh, we're part of this grand scope that is laboring from the littlest ones all the way to entering the church life. And this is not a dogmatic thing, you know, this isn't what, like, this is fellowship, brothers and sisters.
I think you really need to consider each and every one of these points.
Yeah.
Then you go ahead and read it, and then you read those two.
Amen.
The first stage is wonders of creation, preciousness of humanity, loving God and the meaning.
Amen. Wonders of creation, preciousness of humanity, loving God and the meetings. Amen.
Character stories, attributes of God, and build up their humanity.
Amen. Character stories, attributes of God, building up their humanity. Amen. Character stories, having a heart for the Lord, and appreciating the Bible. Good.
And the last one we're going to do separately from here. They're a handful. So the first one is God's creation and man's fall and the results.
God's creation and man's fall and the results. God's creation, salvation, and how to be saved. Baptism and the church life. Amen. Very good. Okay. Yeah. Any questions about the matter of scope? Any fellowship? Maybe we missed something big and, you know, it's burning a hole in your pocket. Please speak up. Yeah. So, as I consider these points, these are not, strict lines. Okay, to now we're going to cover this line. Now we're going to cover the. We have the various activities that we do during our time with the children. We have memory verse time, we have singing time, we have story time, we have craft time. This is the, you could say, the body of the time that we spend with them. And inside of that time, there is every week a designated story that the saints have put together for us to get into. What we practice in District 3 is that story is not intended merely to be used during the story time only. We incorporate the story into our singing. We incorporate the story into our memory verse. I don't mean we tell the whole thing, but the character points and the topical things that come out in that story, they become, you could say, the theme of everything we do during that morning time with them. Okay, does that make sense? Now, to answer your question, as we are developing that and applying it during the singing time or applying it during the craft time, we're looking for specific crystals to tweak, to highlight out of that story. So you have the story of Paul and Barnabas going to Cyprus and preaching the gospel in these various places. That's the story. You could say that's the basic story. But what are the highlights you're going to accentuate in there the things we should be paying attention to are there attributes of God that we can highlight in this story, right? And are there items of humanity that we can highlight in here? Does that make sense? So we have character, obviously, our human character, but there are other things that we can highlight regarding the attributes of God. Wasn't God sovereign in caring for Paul and Barnabas in this situation? Just think what almost happened to them. Surely God was sovereign. So there's your attribute of God. Our God is a sovereign God. What does it mean God is sovereign? How did you get here today? Why were you born in 19 or 2000 and whatever? All of this is because our God is sovereign. He holds everything in our hands. Does that help? So you can take these highlights and almost integrate them into any story and any lesson. You just have to have the eyes for it. Does that make sense? It's not that I spend the whole lesson talking about one attribute of God or a list of attributes, but I'm looking for what were the attributes of God in this story that make it awesome. God is sovereign. God is wise. God is loving. God is just. God is righteous. You know, maybe there's a story of God judging somebody, right? There's a lot of those stories, and the children need to know this is an attribute of God. Okay, so these are some things to pull out and pay attention to. It just so happened when we were in these stories on Barnabas and Paul and Cyprus, we hit the matter of the awesomeness of the Bible. Incredible stories. And we did a whole coverage of the whole Bible and every, you know, all the sections of the Bible. And so they walked out with a real appreciation that these are real stories that happen to real people. You follow what I mean? We took the story, the plain manila story, and we said, what are we going to emphasize to the third, fourth, and fifth graders? Now, if you had put me in a room with K to 2, I would have been looking for other things to accentuate out of that same story. It's the same story, but it's a different group of kids, and you're looking for different things. In particular, I'm looking for attributes of God building up their humanity. Okay, I want to talk about building up humanity in a minute in the matter of application, because I think we may need a little help in this one. Okay. What does it mean to build up their humanity? I hope we would be impressed with the importance of this, because Brother Lee says this is one of the main things we want to do in the children's meeting, but he's even stronger to all the families in their homes. This is the main thing you want to do. So I think this is something we should... I mean, I can't speak to you about how to go home and raise up your child's humanity, but if you come and talk to me, that doesn't mean I don't have some feeling about it. The human being has this incredible capacity by creation. And that capacity, the scope and the quantity of that capacity is dependent on this phrase, to build up their humanity. We understand the matter of building up the church. We understand the matter of building up our Christian life. But here we have build up their humanity. What does that mean? I think we confuse this sometimes. Let's go get our kids and let's go have a morning Bible reading time. Is that building up their humanity? Well, in the sense of getting up and having a regular schedule, yes. But getting into the Bible, this is very much on the spiritual side. I'm not saying you wouldn't do it. I'm saying have some discernment of what is in the spiritual side, what is in the humanity side, so that you don't miss it. Does that make sense? We can do a lot of things, but we've missed the humanity side. I'm treading very delicately here, but I feel burdened to say something. this phrase, she needs to learn and become disciplined so that she may be successful. It's quite a strong statement. Quite a strong statement. We think, as I said before, I need to discipline my child. But here it says, you need to discipline yourself. What does that mean, to discipline yourself? Well, in the second page, it talks about these alternative things we can do in taking the easy way. I would say there's a disciplined way and an easy way. Okay? Applied to the children's meeting, let's go to the park and play basketball. Discipline way or easy way? It's the easy way. You know, we don't have to prepare anything ahead of time. We don't have to take any time to consider what to do. It's easy. We just show up with a ball and away we go. Discipline way, if we spend an hour Saturday afternoon preparing some kind of activity to get into the ministry. Sorry. See how pickled we are. To get into a memory verse, to get into the verse so the children get into it and learn it and enjoy it and appreciate coming, is that easy or is that discipline? To me, that's the discipline way, right? Discipline means we don't let ourselves go. We don't let ourselves off the hook. Not to mention our children being off the hook. We're on the hook to be disciplined with ourselves, to take the time to be prepared to do the things that care for them in a quality way. So I appreciate these two words, the discipline way and the easy way. And I feel like when it comes to the matter of building up the humanity of a young person, okay, I'm going to keep bothering Andy just because he's in my district. And okay, here's Andy, and I want to build him up in his humanity, okay? I want to take care of his humanity, okay? And there's a discipline way that is discipline for me, not him. When I say discipline way, I don't mean, okay, Andy, you know, that's not what we're talking about. I have to be disciplined. I have to be disciplined with myself about how I take with him and his humanity. Okay, so Andy's bathroom is a mess. Okay? Have anybody had this situation? We're in the section of application here, okay? Andy's bathroom is a mess. Okay? And I want to build up his humanity. Okay? Is it part of humanity? Is it part of our human condition that we have to clean? Surely it is, right? We have to be skilled at cleaning. We have to be built up in our cleaning, right? We have to be habitual in our cleaning. And I can take a number of ways with Andy. I can take an easy way or I can take a disciplined way, right? I can say, Andy, go clean up your bathroom. Roar. 2 hours later, still dirty. Andy, go clean up. See, this is the easy way, to just tell him what to do. If you don't clean up that bathroom, I'm going to Is this the discipline way or is it the easy way? It's very easy to yell at the children, right, unfortunately. But the discipline way, what is the discipline way? I appreciate Brother Lee's phrase, we have to pick up some skill. We don't come, you know, we don't arrive at parenting knowing the skilled way. So I appreciate, brothers and sisters, this is something we have to develop. I realize I'm straying outside of the children's meeting. I'm talking about principles at the home, but please don't misunderstand me. It applies to the children in the children's meeting as well as it does in our home. Andy, let's go clean your bathroom together. I want to show you some really neat sponges and tools that I've got. I got this really, really neat sponge that's specially shaped. I think you'll really like it. Come on, let's work on it. Just 10 minutes. Is that disciplined or easy to do it with him? It's very to have to do it with him, you know. It requires some discipline. Anyway, I realize I'm straying into parenting, and that's not our burden here. My burden is to build up their humanity. There's an easy way and there's a disciplined way. And our burden, at least as far as the children's meeting is concerned, we want to take the discipline way and we want to develop our skill. That's why we need to have coordination meetings. That's why we need to have prayer and fellowship. This is a matter of the humanity of the Lord Jesus being pneumatized and inspiring us how to carry it out. Now, however much of this you apply in your home situation, I would just encourage you. There's an easy way and there's a disciplined way. And I don't mean disciplining your children. I mean, Lord, check me, right? Am I, what, you know, the children, my children have 2 weeks off from December 22nd to January 1st, right? Everyone has 2 weeks off. What are you going to do with your children? Will you take the easy way or the disciplined way? Okay. Lord, have mercy on us, right? Lord, inspire us. Lord, develop our skills, right? I appreciate Brother Lee, the way he handled this. He was speaking about the children's meeting care, rendering help to the children so they can be built up in their humanity, but he was faithful to say something about our parenting, right? So I appreciate very much this principle that he brings out of being disciplined and learning how to be successful. When it comes to the matter of building up a person's humanity, there are so many areas, okay? I mentioned cleaning, cooking, right? Gardening. One of the greatest things we enjoy in our household is gardening with the kids, as much as we can get them to do it. Building things, writing. Recently, we published a book. These are the high quality things. These are the disciplined way, not the easy way. Okay, there's a whole smorgasbord of easy way things. In our household, we call them cotton candy. It's like with the food your children eat at the table. You put 100 things on the table and you let them do whatever, it's going to be the cotton candy, right? Anyway, please don't misunderstand our fellowship and our application. But our burden is very much that we really would have a proper application and understand the matter of building up their humanity. In the children's meeting, I appreciate there's the matter of crafts here. Okay, and some of the crafts, I mean the craft that I'm impressed, the phrase that he says here, to build different kinds of crafts. He doesn't say cut out and make crafts, but build, meaning there's something substantial going on there, right? this is going to do something with their humanity. Cooking, cleaning, sewing. All of these things build up their humanity, develop their humanity, okay? Anyway, praise the Lord. Lord, be merciful to us. I hope this fellowship can be useful. I think in the ending time we have a special announcement. So maybe we'll transition to that section now.
Yeah, thanks.
Because it gives us a bird's eye view of where we are and what we've done in the last 12 years. You know? The Lord has brought us forward to a certain extent, and I'm just encouraged that we all need to continue putting our shoulder corporately for the Lord's interest. I'm very grateful for this middle section began when we moved to District 3. The stories came about, and then we brought them over to over here, and now we use them for Districts 4 and 5. And then in the last few years, this whole thing with sixth grade, it's quite a package. It's evolved over the last at least this many years, 4 or 5 years, right? Where we go into the homes, we spend the time, and most of our children, way over 90%. I only know of one or two cases that I'm aware of over the last several years that didn't receive the Lord. And then most recently, with the nursery, we felt to visit the whole issue of the nursery. And instead of emphasizing creation, we use creation more now as a backdrop, and the emerging point more and more is the preciousness. It includes building up the character, but I think this transcends all of the children's labor, and you know, it begins with us being disciplined to get the vision of God's economy, to see in God's view how precious is this phenomenon known as humanity. Right? I mean, what is humanity? Humanity is an entity that is intended to contain divinity. What is that? Will you share that here? No. But if the extent to which we see that is the extent to which we are effectual in presenting this. What we see of God's economy will govern the value that we are able to deliver, right? And all of this, as by the Lord's mercy, we realize is according to what? The exercise of our spirit. Listen, if we don't exercise our spirit with our pre-Ks, forget about it. Right? I mean, this is fundamental in the Lord's recovery. We are those who exercise our spirit. So, I am so grateful. Okay, so shift gears. 300 golden Bible verses. Okay. So this is another topic. This is something that we put together. And can we get them distributed now? We want to give every family one copy. And if you want more copies, we just help cover the cost to produce these, $1 a copy. But the first one is free to the family. Okay, what is this? Well, it's just what it says. It's 300 golden verses. Okay. And after they give these out, I'm going to read, you know, I like to read. The Bible has this verse, right? Given to reading, right? So, Bible verses intended for the home meetings. No, they need it in their hand right now. Sorry. They need it in their hand, Sister Garina. They need it in their hand. Yeah. Let's give it, put it in the hands of the people. Hallelujah. 300 gold. There's different covers, so don't fight over what cover you get, okay? The children might, but we won't. All right. Different ones like different covers.
Okay, so it's one per household.
Yeah, but give everybody one so they can read.
Can I buy one?
Yeah. Right now, just get in front of you so we can read. Right? Don't worry about one family. Don't worry about a dollar. Don't worry about any of that. Just get one so we can read together. Right? Yeah. The value's on the inside. Okay. So they're distributing those. I'm going to go ahead and begin. Bible verses. Okay, 300 golden verses. Bible verses intended for meetings in the home. So this is not for the children's meetings. But I felt, we felt, why not do something just for your house? This is for your home. This is not intended, it's not that you can't, I mean, it's your book. But it's not intended for your for a neighborhood children's meeting. It's not intended for that. It's for you and baby Joey or whoever, right? Caleb? Baby Caleb, right? It's for this family of threesomes, right? It's for your home, right? Okay, let me read. I like to read. As parents and serving ones, we would like to see our children growing up in the Lord's recovery to know God and to have the Word of Christ dwell in them richly. This collection of 300 Bible verses is primarily intended to for corporate family times in the home. Corporate family times. Okay. In presenting the Bible verses, each verse includes its book and chapter reference. It is by no means that we consider these the best verses from the Bible, but is intended to be the initiation of drawing greater emphasis on enjoying, understanding, and memorizing Bible verses among our children. This collection of verses is presented in three levels based upon the age of the children. This is provided only as a guideline since families often have children of various ages. Right, Joe? You got what a range. Hi. So your children are what? 8, 10, 12. So you got a range. This is provided, okay. Below are some quotes from the ministry of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee concerning memorizing Bible verses and having daily meetings in our homes with our children. Brother Witness Lee highlighted the importance of sharing Bible verses with our children. He stated, by choosing the best verses concerning God, we can impress them, the children, in a brief and simple way that there is an Almighty God. Right? That falls right in here. Right? Falls right in. But, listen, you're home. Don't do it in the children. You know, do it there, but in your home. In your home, right? 7:30 a.m. before school. Daddy's reading. There is an Almighty God, Caleb. Time to go. School. You'll say a little bit more. Okay. Sorry. I get carried away. Okay. In a brief, we can impress them in a brief and simple way that there is an Almighty One in the universe who is our God. That's better, right? There is an Almighty One in the universe who is our God. Wow, what a phrase. 67. Okay, Brother Watchman Nee shared with us that in order to have the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly, at least we have to memorize the Scriptures. Brother Nee gave the example that the Lord Jesus memorized the Scriptures while he was on earth. That's how to study the Bible. By Watchman Nee. Again, remember, you're at home with your children. You use this as you choose. Brother Lee encouraged us to start early. You can't get much earlier, right? The Bible verses memorization should begin early in the child's life. Parents should teach their children when they are young so that what has been taught can be wrought. That's a good rhyme, huh? What has been taught can be wrought into their blood. Whoa. Then it will be impressed deeply within them. And it will be difficult to forget. That's in bearing fruit. Brother Nee writes in this, his chapter entitled Parents, we suggest having two home meetings. Suggests two home meetings a day. Listen, I failed. I didn't do this. I did not do this. Now I'm a grandpa. I got four grandchildren. Three children, four grandchildren. I did not do this. I didn't know enough. Wasn't smart enough. But he who has an ear, let him hear. It's the disciplined way. It's an exercise. It's surely an exercise. Right? Anyways, it's not a matter of... We suggest having two home meetings a day, one in the morning and one in the evening. The father should lead the morning time and the mother should lead the evening time. If you have children at home, you have to wake up earlier. Have a little time together before the children go to school. Your meeting should be short, living, and never long. Perhaps 10 minutes is enough. 15 minutes is the longest it should be. Never exceed 15 minutes. And do not be shorter than 5 minutes. And ask everyone of them to read a verse. The father should take the lead to pick out a few phrases and speak about them. If the children can memorize something, ask them to memorize. Do not quote a whole verse. Ask them to remember the meaning of a sentence. At the end of the meeting, the father or the mother should offer a prayer for God's blessing. Do not offer lofty or deep prayers. Pray about things that children can understand. The dog is sick. Grandma. The neighbor boy. Do not be long, be simple. Then, send them to school. Every time you sit down for your meal, you should thank the Lord for it. I'm waiting for how do I bring my oldest grandson into a simple, genuine Thanksgiving at the table? You know, I realize I'd like to see that. I'd like to learn how to do that. Right? Something that is from the heart. So every time you sit down, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you should be sincere in your thanksgiving. Help your children to give thanks. The evening meeting should be a little longer, and the mother should lead it. It is not necessary to read the Bible at night, but the family needs to pray together. In particular, the mother has to gather the children together and talk to them. While the father is sitting next to her, the mother would encourage the children to speak up. Ask them whether they had any problems that day. Ask whether they fought with one another and whether anything was bothering them. If a mother cannot make her children speak up, something must be wrong. It is a failure of the mother to allow a barrier to exist between herself and her children. The mother must be at fault if the children are afraid to speak to her. They should be free to speak up. The mother must learn to bring out the things that are in her children's hearts. If they do not want to speak up that day, ask them the next day. Guide the children. Let them pray a little and teach them to say a few words. This meeting must be living. Ask them to confess their sins, but do not force them. There must not be any pretense. Everything must be done in a very natural way. Let them take some initiative themselves. If they have something to confess, let them confess. If they have nothing to confess, do not force them. There must not be any pretense. The pretense found in many children is the result of pressure from strict parents. Children do not tell lies, but you can force them to tell lies. The parents should lead them to pray in a simple way, one by one. Make sure that everyone prays. Finally, conclude with a prayer of your own. But do not be long. Once your prayer becomes long, children become bored. Feed them according to their capacity. Once you try to do too much, you will overburden them. Pray a few sentences with them. And then let them go to sleep. Our intention in preparing these verses, this is just our writing. Our intention here in Anaheim, in preparing these verses, carries with it our hope. Let's read it all together. So compiled by the church in Anaheim for local use only. Do not duplicate. January this year. And then you go to the next page, elementary level. It begins with Genesis, gives the chapter and the verse, the Bible verse. In the beginning, God created. So, there you are with elementary, 7:30 in the morning. And again, how you use it, when you use it, it's your house. It's your home. That's the goal. That's the target. Right? So we just thought to do this, and may it be a blessing. Right. Okay. Yeah. Ages? Well, ages. Our in putting this together, Joe, our feeling was the I think you could go the youngest age would be 4, 5, 6 years of age. Then 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, as you go through this, and I think there's 100 per, 100 verses per level. So I think it's split evenly. And you get to the advanced, you know, there's some longer verses. And anyway, I think different families will use it in different ways. Some will push the memorization part. Some will push the meaning part. Anyway. It's all for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you make it? We were able to make it and receive all of these riches. You know, now we have a duty. We have to share this with our fellow serving ones. Right? And we also need to bring this to the Lord, right? So many things to consider before the Lord so that the Lord will increase our capacity, right? Even enrich our fellowship among our team members, among our fellow parents in the church. You know, I believe our fellowship would be very much enriched if we first of all consider this before the Lord, and then bring it to the fellowship. So the last part of this meeting, we just want to remind you that we have given you these two pages to help you in your continued fellowship with your fellow serving ones in your team or at your level, and to encourage you to bring this burden, to bring this vision to all of them. Right? First of all, we receive. This is speaking. I believe the Lord is calling us to take the discipline work, right? I really feel we need to consider these matters before the Lord. Many of us need to repent. And this is something that we need to be exercised to receive it in a proper way, right? And to treasure these matters. Amen. You know, I was, amen. Let's just say that much. I just wanted to read a couple of things here under some topics for team fellowship, just to put a little bit of emphasis here. Number 5, under extra activities, it says, both while arriving as well as before departing, children might need to be directed towards quiet games and activities prepared beforehand, such as puzzles, hidden pictures, mazes, etc. Invest time and care in planning the 3+ hours so that there is no idle time. Make certain the time spent is profitable for their character building. Avoid outdoor free time and usage of the playground, especially towards the end of the meeting. So I believe after considering all these matters, now we realize how precious this time with the children is. And we want to be the first ones to be disciplined and to be exercised, to prepare accordingly. So this is given, of course, not as a replacement for what you have heard. The main burden has been given to you through the speaking, and we expect that you would consider this before the Lord, share it with the other saints, and apply it. But this is also a help for you to continue this fellowship with your team members. So you can take more copies if you feel would be useful for your team members of these two, okay? And also we have this, of course, we have the reading of the ministry material. You may want to read it together with your team the next time you have some fellowship with them.